Hi, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of APIs Unplugged. My name is Matt McLarty. I'm the global leader of API strategy at MuleSoft, and I'm delighted to have you here. As always, I'm also delighted to have Mike Amundson. Mike, what's new today?
Hey, not much. I'm just cowering in my hovel here in Kentucky. Same old, taking a day at a time.
2020, one day at a time.
Yeah. You got it.
So today's episode, I think, is going to be really informative for the audience because it's an area that quite frankly, has been, in my experience, people have scratched the surface a little bit, but it opens up a whole new area of thinking, I think, around APIs, which is the notion of risk management when it comes to APIs, and specifically looking at risk management through the lens of API discovery. So API discovery and API discoverability are areas that we've touched on previous episodes of APIs Unplugged, but I think it's fair to say we're going to be coming at it from a very different angle today. And so we're really happy today to have our guest, Valjeet Malhotra, who's the CEO and founder of Tej Lab, who's going to be talking about those topics. So Valjeet, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Matt, and good morning, Mike, as well.
Valjeet, you wrote an article recently for Nordic APIs that got me, well, I have to say, it caught my attention partly because we're practically neighbors, right? We live about 15 minutes away from each other. And in this small tech community of Vancouver, I think it's interesting that we're that close by. So I'm just looking at the window. I'm not sure if I can see it. But anyway, but you wrote this article. I think it was really interesting on API discovery and with this risk management angle. But I would love if you could just start by giving us your background in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, thank you very much for having me. And I looked around and definitely I found that we are literally physically neighbors, just 15 minutes apart. But I didn't know about you until you reached out to me. So maybe you can tell me I was lost in my research world for the last 2 years or so. But really, this was a journey, especially on the API discovery part that I've been taking for the last 10 years or so. Believe it or not. So you asked me about my background. So let me start with a quick, intro about myself and also the work I've been doing before starting Tej Lab. So I came actually from the academic background. I did my PhD at the University of Alberta back in 2008-09 kind of time frame. Mm-hmm. And then I took a postdoc position at the National University of Singapore. I was fully determined to be a professor, but, mm-hmm. The destiny took me back to the industry when I met some folks from SAP. And while being in Singapore on my postdoc position, I decided to join SAP as one of the research scientists in the lab they were establishing. Before actually I started my grad school, I was actually a software engineer as well. So I had my experience, with the applications and software engineering and other aspects of application development and all that stuff. But it was really during my research career when I started to learn about, the aspects of data management, either it's a security problem or it's a compliance problem, mm-hmm. and how you can really apply data science through the lens of, these machine learning or data mining or other kinds of solutions that were coming up, back in 2010 or that kind of time frame, really AI and machine learning was really taking off. So while being at SAP, I was still not introduced to APIs or security and other kinds of problem. My focus was more on building harbor management solutions. Singapore being one of the busiest ports, a busy port in the world. It was a natural extension for our research, what we were trying to do, and top up with some of the applications that enterprise applications that SAP needed to build. So keep the story short, back in 2013, for family reasons, I moved back to Vancouver. And that's where I really got introduced to the world of APIs. It's not that I was not aware of APIs. I had built APIs in my past career as a software engineer, or I was at least looked into those topics. But really touching upon the compliance aspects, security aspects, that was the beginning of my journey with the API risk management world. While being at SAP, I was part of a team that was responsible for open source usage compliance across SAP products and services. So we would basically work with, you know, do technical due diligence team, lawyers, and commercial organization colleagues, and basically mitigate risk that we foresee when SAP product teams will use any open source tools or libraries. And at that time, I was approached by one of my colleagues, and we were acquiring a company. And we had no idea what the risk was from an API perspective. Now, you may ask the question, you know, why API? We were looking into open source risk management. Yeah. So APIs were really picking up at that time. And our colleagues from technical due diligence perspective or legal compliance perspective, we were aware of, you know, all the licensing issues. If it's a GPL, what's the risk? If it is, you know, Apache MIT licenses for open source, we knew the risk. But we really didn't know what were the risks we were consuming if there were some API integrations in the libraries or the software we were acquiring.
Right.
So believe it or not, we had bought a product at that time, and we had no idea one single product had 5,000 different API integrations. And the question is, you may ask, how did we know there were 5,000 integrations?
Yeah.
Now, the answer to that question is, we did not know until the next 2 years after we bought the company. So you can imagine we had no idea how to do the technical due diligence. There were no tools available to actually do this programmatically. There were tools, you know, to do the open source discovery and all that kind of stuff, but not really for APIs. And that was an eye-opening for us. So that experience stayed with us. But we had no idea who the vendors were. We had no idea, are these commercial APIs? We had no idea if these are commercial, what are the limits on them? Do we have an SLA in place? Suddenly, this is a software solution we bought from a smaller company that needs to be scaled to a larger ecosystem. And suddenly, the limits may go off the roof. And, you know, do we have contracts in place and all that stuff? So this was really an experience that stayed with me. We couldn't solve that problem, but that stayed with me. And when I started the R&D division for Black Duck, then I started to look into some of these issues. And then, of course, Black Duck was looking into open source, not necessarily APIs. That was basically a transition for me. When I started Teach Lab, I started to look into these issues.
So, this actually takes in a bunch of things that we were really excited to talk to you about. One of the things I find really interesting is how you sort of have taken this notion of the way you think about risk and compliance in open source and applying that to this API dependency or this API space, right? I think that's one of the things that you cover really well, and this idea that API risk assessment is just as or more important, maybe even, than this sort of open source risk and consumption assessment. So how do you see this playing out? Like what are the things that about this risk consumption of APIs that's risky and that people really need to be paying attention to?
Open source usage has certainly changed the industry towards betterment. You know, the amount of open source that is being used is somewhere between, you know, 50 to 80% of any enterprise application. What has changed over these years is, in the last especially 5 to 10 years, Now, all these open source projects or libraries, they have started to provide different kinds of integrations through APIs. Now, enterprises or developers at large, they are not necessarily familiar with the risk that these API integrations bring. Now, there is an interesting aspect with respect to open source. You may consume an open source library. You may know the licensing risk for those libraries. And you may also know in the context you are using that open source library. This is all good. Now, what has happened in the last few years or so, cloud has taken off in a big way. You know, a lot of software has actually moved into the cloud. Mm-hmm. So the typical risk perceived by the industry or the legal colleagues are actually reducing. Why? Because as long as you are not shipping your code, nobody actually knows what is the licensing risk. Even if there is a viral license underneath one of your applications, as long as nobody has access to the code, you know, there is literally no risk on that library. However, if those libraries or the ecosystem that you built of your software systems have certain APIs that are integrated and they are making calls, immediately those vendors or the producers of APIs know that you are using their APIs, right? Okay. So the risk compared to open source is much, much more with APIs, because suddenly you did not realize this particular library or third-party library or even a third-party integration, a white label solution you integrated with your software that you moved into the cloud. But suddenly, after 2 years, you receive a bill, from a Joe vendor saying that, oh, you are using our APIs and this is the bill for these many calls. So to answer your question, the risk with API usage is much more than what I would say with open source usage.
And I think this is where, when we had our first conversation, Baljeet, when you were just familiarizing me with this, it was an aha moment for me. When I came into it, you know, Mike and I have been in the API industry looking at API discoverability, thinking about, you know, developer portals and marketplaces and all these tools really aimed at people who are looking to consume APIs, looking for APIs. But the aha moment for me was your perspective saying, actually, this is almost a retroactive discovery of, wait a minute, what are all the APIs that we're using that we weren't even aware that we're using or we might end up using? And I think that definitely just changes the dynamic when you think about things from a risk perspective. So, you know, what do you see? Are you seeing others that are kind of, this is where this is really a blind spot, and how are you seeing companies come across? Are they having that same type of aha moment, realizing that they might be using APIs that they didn't know about?
Yeah, again, this is a great question, Matt. And I think with some colleagues who understand this ecosystem quite well, their aha moments come easily. With a lot of enterprises, we are taking them again on a journey that they took 10, 15 years ago. To give you the context around it, when we went to enterprises, when we were building open source risk management solution, if you asked any enterprise 10 years back, are you using any open source? The typical answer would be, no, we are not using any open source. Then we would say, okay, let's do a POC and let's scan what we find. And we would often find hundreds of libraries and say, look, these are the libraries, these are the open known vulnerabilities published by NVD, and these are the licensing risks. And they would go on a journey to start to think about those issues. I believe today we are taking many of the organizations and colleagues on the same journey again, where there is a kind of denial that they do not consume any APIs that might actually pose any risk to them, either from a security perspective or from a compliance perspective. And the fact is, if you ask many of the organizations, I'm not saying every organization, their preparedness is at the same level, but many organizations, even at the executive level, CISO or CIO level, if you ask them this question, do you know all your APIs across your products and services? oftentimes their answer is either ambiguous or they don't know. So not everybody's aha moment has arrived. I think we are on that journey where industry will wake up to these big risks that we are talking about. But again, I hope that answers your question. So the short answer is the aha moment has not arrived for everybody, but you know, there is a journey that we are experiencing with them.
Yeah, this actually reminds me, I don't know if this is really true. This is sort of a thing I'm kind of working out in my head as we talk. I know for quite a few companies, they've become very diligent about compliance and about open source. They're suspect of any open source code that's used. They assume that it might be dangerous. They're whether they're in denial or not, they're saying, no, we don't use it, right? But I kind of have this sense, and I don't know, you can probably tell me if this is really true, that companies have a sort of a different attitude about APIs. They sort of assume they're okay. They assume they're safe, and they don't assume the same sort of risk in using APIs that they would in incorporating their own code. The fact that that it's just an API and not the code somehow lulls them a little bit. So even if they're saying we don't use APIs, I'm wondering if they're not yet tuned into the actual risk and compliance elements of starting to depend upon other people's code to have access to your data or you giving them data, stuff like that. I mean, do you have any sort of sense of that difference? Are they being treated the same in the company, or are they being treated differently so far?
The general answer is they are treated differently. Mm. But it is very interesting that perhaps the same teams are responsible for the due diligence. Right. Because I would say until now, APIs were lumped with open source risks or, you know, technical due diligence aspect. But the tool sets and the due diligence that is needed is very, very different. Let me give you a bit more context on that. APIs these days, as you know, it's not a news. Companies want to treat them as product, right? So unlike open source, where it's more heavily geared towards asking question to a developer how you're using a library and what's the license, and your licensing colleague will help you mitigate the risk whether you can use the library and whatnot. So that will be the end of the story when open source usage came. Mm-hmm. However, the way the APIs are evolving and the way the business aspect of that, the technical aspect of that, and the strategy aspect of that, how and which APIs need to be exposed, at what level of granularity and to which partners, is it a free API? So this whole notion around strategy and the business is evolving as well. And there are much more stakeholders involved than just a technical developer or licensing colleague. Right. So what will happen moving forward, this is just my intuitions, that there will be specialized colleagues within enterprise environment where the risk assessment needs to be done differently for APIs. And also, of course, the same set of people can be trained on these new risks that we are talking about. Even the risk itself is very different from a legal perspective as well. Let me give a little bit more context on this. Is from open source perspective, if you use a library and you understand what is the underlying license for that library, and you build your product around it, and you are pretty much compliant with the lifecycle of that product. However, not so true for APIs, because let's say you use any API, let's say even if it is a commercial API and you are compliant in terms of SLAs and the rate limits and all that stuff, the terms of services are not fixed. So even if you did the due diligence today, but 6 months from now, Google may change their terms of services if you're using Google services. Yeah. IBM Watson may change their AI-driven services because suddenly their data policies or the Canadian laws have changed, right? Mm-hmm. Other things can happen that are beyond the control of a vendor, and hence they cannot provide you fixed terms of services. And because these things could change, you are dealing with a much, much greater problem. So we are going back again and drawing parallels with open source, but I think there are a lot of stuff that there is a lot of stuff with when it comes to API usage and compliance. I think things are very dynamic. It's always a moving target problem, yeah. and hence things will evolve in an interesting way.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those two sides of the coin situations where when you're taking a library that is static code and putting it in, it's one thing. When you're using a service that's hosted with different terms by another source, then you've got that kind of organic, long-lasting relationship. And the reason I said two sides of the coin is because on one hand, that saves you work, provides clear separation. There's a lot of benefit that comes with it. But to your point, it creates a deeper dependency and creates a different risk profile. But I wonder, with the kind of convergence of what you've been looking at around API discovery and what Mike and I have been talking around about API discovery, if we do, so we've been looking at the scenario where companies are trying to discover what APIs they might be using as a result of open source or maybe other factors. But, do you think it's, does it make sense for companies who are consciously going out to consume APIs, third-party APIs, that they would take a similar risk management approach, even if it's not, happenstance through the use of open source?
I think there is some knowledge that has already built through the open source ecosystem. So it makes sense to leverage upon that knowledge and build the new processes or systems or tools, whatever they are, to manage the risk from APIs as well. So that's definitely a way to go forward with. Now, there are two parts to the question you asked. The discoverability itself is a big problem for organizations. Now, you cannot assess the risk if you do not even know what are your APIs, right? So the first challenge you need to solve is, where are all my APIs? Do we have tools in place, or at least the process or some aspect of due diligence in place with developers where they know, or at least they can declare APIs that are being consumed, either they are aware or they have figured it out through manual work. So the first challenge that enterprises need to address to solve this larger picture around API risk management is the discoverability piece. When I say discovery, I literally mean that find your APIs, where they are, across all your products and services. My intuition is we are talking about hundreds and perhaps, given the organization size, thousands of APIs that are embedded or hidden somewhere in different products and services, and also even internally. So once you figure that out, once you find a set of tools or processes to discover, then the risk management aspect starts. So then you need to figure out, okay, what's the licensing risk, or what are the legal aspects of those risks? Then you want to know, are these APIs secure enough? What are their authentication mechanisms? Are these commercial APIs? So then the other aspects of risk management starts from a security perspective. Then there is a third aspect from a reliability perspective. What do I mean by that is, and again, I have another story to share from a very large corporation that actually literally, was stumbled upon that particular problem, around, if this is an API that is somewhere part of a workflow management and the software makes a call to this API, if this API goes down, and if this was not in your knowledge, and if this was not part of your marketplace where you were documenting this API, you will spend perhaps months to figure out where the problem is. And this particular problem I'm referring to is a real use case where one of the API brought down the entire application because this application was, again, acquired. And they didn't have the full inventory disclosure. And this API basically was going in a loop, making a call, but again, slowing down the entire application. the discovery piece is where you start, but that doesn't end here. Then you gotta go into legal compliance, security aspect, reliability aspect, business modeling, and other aspect of risk management.
And isn't that the truth for everything, right? It's just when you think you've uncovered, oh look, I've discovered this. Now you realize, oh no, I've discovered this, and now I have so many more things to deal with. I find this to be. To me, this seems like another sort of step in the maturity of this API space, right? Because now we're talking, and we're talking about the due diligence, we're talking about security, we're talking about reliability, all these other things that are truly business focused elements, right? You know, what are your legal and compliance issues? What are your security issues for your data? All these other things. So I mean, for companies providing these APIs, like if I'm an API provider, you know, whether commercial or I'm using an open source project, what can I do to, like, are there things that I should be doing? Just like we know in open source, I should be having an open source statement about, usability and so on and so forth. Are there things that I should be doing for APIs that I publish that would make this whole situation easier? Are there assets that I need to produce or documents that I need to always have on hand? What can I do as a provider to make this better?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And I think any organization that does that, you know, they are reaching the entire ecosystem towards a better place. So to be quite honest, I haven't figured out everything, what should be done. But my two cents are, it's not just you provide a good documentation. It's not just you provide a good sample code to consumer APIs in a seamless fashion, but it's actually much more than that. Let's say if you can also list where actually this API will be hosted in advance. For example, you know, when you make a live call to API, you do not know where this call will be routed. You may have a fixed URL that you see, but that doesn't tell you where the service will be called from. And let's say if you are sending some inputs to this API, let's talk about image processing API, and you're processing millions of images using this API, then where your images are going? Are they going into a country where you have certain business implications? So telling how this API is hosted, what will be your policies, and also clearly stating your rate limits, clearly stating your terms of services for using this API. And that's another problem. You know, you cannot in advance state everything if you do not even know what will be your monetization strategy moving forward. Let's say you're publishing an API for free for the time being, but, you know, perhaps you have a monetization strategy in your head. And that's fair game, right? So providing some sort of guidance on those lines, you know, I think will be very useful for the consumer's perspective.
Very good.
Yeah, it's so interesting how all of these things come together, how developers working on their own to find APIs, start using them, and maybe they haven't thought through the risk implications. But then to the point you just made about even API providers, in order to help mitigate risk for their consumers, they need to think about their business model and their monetization strategy. It's just, you know, there's so many different connection points here. So, you know, given the fact that you've got such a head start, I think, on the industry in what, you know, recognizing this as an extremely important space, especially as more and more companies and the whole digital ecosystem becomes more and more dependent on APIs, you've actually put all this research into insights and actions with Tej Lab, your company. So it would be great if you can, you know, help our listeners understand what you provide through Tej Lab.
At Tej Lab, we started with the mission that we want to solve these compliance and API risk management problems. There is maybe if I can provide a context to that, why we exist the way we exist today, and why, you know, the world should care about Tej Lab. It's of course we are a for-profit organization, but because of our research background, I just want to give a context to to the work we are trying to do and why it is important across the different industries. Personally, I've been looking into API space, as I mentioned, since 2012, 2013 timeframe. Although in between, I couldn't do everything I wanted to do for API risk management because of my previous professional obligations. However, when I started Teej Lab, when we went fully operational in 2019, one of the factors we realized that what is the state of the industry right now? Then I divide this period of last 15, 20 years into two segments. The first segment was when the companies and innovations were born to help companies build APIs. Matt, you're from MuleSoft, Apigee and APIRE, all these great companies. They were born to help enterprises, organizations build good APIs. I mean, that's where the first phase of innovation took place. Then we started to realize that, okay, the amount of APIs, the number of APIs that are growing, and the accelerated pace at which these companies will continue to build these APIs by all these great solutions that have come across in the last decade or so, we will see more and more APIs, and more organizations will consume these APIs. Every API is an innovation. It has a value from a business or technical perspective. And we realize that somebody has to help from a consumer side of things, where it is not just about helping organizations read the documentations and consume the APIs. The discoverability that we talked about was already left as an experience with me from my previous affiliations that I wanted to solve at Teej Lab. Then I started putting my team together, and then all these issues around, legal aspect, the security aspect, the reliability aspect, and just the fact that the number of APIs that will become available and for you to actually even find these APIs will become a problem. Just going through a marketplace, every organization, for example, Google has its own marketplace, IBM has its own, Watson APIs, ecosystems, they have their own marketplace. So every organization will have that. But still, it is very, very difficult for developers to actually go and try those APIs. You have to write a small piece of code, and perhaps if not days or months, you will take at least good amount of time in number of hours to actually configure those APIs. Right? And then you may actually not even use those APIs. You may move on to do something else. So there is so much upfront development cost that gets wasted. And even if you end up using those APIs, there is so much legal risk that you can consume down the road, or the security risk down the road that you did not think about. So then at Teej Lab, we took this mission that, can we solve these problems? Can we provide this information upfront to the organizations and developers when they want to explore APIs, when they want to find what this API is going to do, what is going to be the input, what is going to be the output, where this API will be hosted? Can we provide some sort of vendor rating? And also, if there are 10 APIs trying to do the same thing, out of those 10 APIs, which is more secure, which is more compliant? So this is how we started. But then obviously the other problem was, what about the APIs that they are not looking for? Do they know all the APIs? Then we started building certain more intelligence agents to discover APIs from software applications, from networks and things like that. So that's how we started.
Well, that's really what I kind of wanted to kind of bring this to. And that is, there's so many things that have opened up now in this conversation about what it really means to discover where you are, how you explore what your external exposure is, and do these audits, and then you think of all these things like PCI and GDPR and HIPAA and all these other things that must cross these same paths, right? There's so many other things. How do you monitor this on a regular basis? How do you consolidate all this into some kind of dashboard or something? So my question has to be, what if I'm running a company and I know I'm consuming APIs, what should I be preparing to deal with? What should I be focusing on? What should I be telling my people, whether it's my, you know, my existing compliance, or do I need to run something up? What are some of the near-term things I should be focusing on right now, now that I sort of am getting a sense of what this discovery and risk and compliance is really all about? Where do I go?
I think that is the starting point for any developer, where apart from just reading the documentation of APIs, or there are certain tools available for free where these APIs can be tested and configured to see how to integrate these APIs, but it's much more than that. So at Teej Lab, our platform is called API Discovery, not to confuse with the concept API Discovery, but API Discovery as our platform really means is you can discover not only APIs that are publicly available by different vendors that are out there. Not every API we are able to discover from the internet yet, but that's our goal. We want to be the single source of a place where all the APIs can be seen. Of course, if they're still behind firewalls, we cannot see them, but that's our ultimate goal. Now, as I mentioned, it is not just about finding an API by a particular vendor. It's also about discovering the compliance risk, discovering the security risk. And we are doing some background check, if you will. And the way we do it, it is not just a static information we provide. There are, both of you are aware of certain repositories that are available. One of them is actually owned by MuleSoft, where you have this information. But it's much more than looking at the API endpoint or the vendor information. So can we actually see what will be the sample data that may come out? Now, the samples you may provide as part of the documentation is very different than what you can actually try, because your inputs may be different when you want to try this API in your context, and the outputs could be different, and hence it provides you more contextual information. And can I do this without even configuring that API? So that's where you can save some of the development cost. And furthermore, to your question, you mentioned interesting PCI compliance or SOC 2, or even just the by looking at the nature of the data itself, can actually tell you do you need to be concerned about privacy policy. For example, if certain API is spitting out people's email addresses or name, it's not a security problem. All you got to do is you need to come up with a policy. Are we going to consume or store these email or personal information? Or do I need to work with our technical team to tell them, look, do not store these fields, but just process, let's say, Twitter feed, just process the Twitter feeds, but don't store people's screen name or their email addresses or whatnot, just to, preserve the privacy of individuals. So all of this I'm talking about and much more than that can be done in the API Discovery platform, that platform we built. And of course, there are other aspects we are talking about, which goes much more deeper. We provide agents that the developers can use to scan their code, either in their IDE environment, or they can point that to their repositories where their source codes are, where the scan kicks in, and they can give a result back in a dashboard where you can see all the APIs that have been discovered by the tool. And you can do the same thing at the network level as well. So these are some of the things we do. We are not done yet. Compliance is not just about the licensing compliance, looking at the terms of services or the business model compliance, or even looking at the SQL injection problem from security perspective. We are moving towards an era where we will see a lot of APIs making very important decisions that are driven by AI solutions. Right. For example, an image processing API might be labeling people's gender, color, or whatever it is, right? So there are a lot of services like that, or a text processing API, or a translation API from English to other languages, right? Yeah. So if you really think about that, all these APIs are going to make very critical business decisions. So it's not just about license compliance. It's not just about the security. API may be secure, API may be compliant, but is it biased? Is it racist? So if you really get into those problems, that's the kind of problem we are trying to solve. We haven't figured everything out yet. There are certain benchmarks we can use because we do not know how this API was built. What was the underlying data model if it was an AI-driven API? So to be honest, we haven't really figured out everything, but we have started to look into these problems that industry has not thought about yet. And I think it's right to say that we are quite ahead in this market, and we want to solve the problems that will be very important for industry to solve in many, many use cases.
Awesome. I think it's fair to say then, I guess, that you know, admitting it is the first step. That's usually the case. And I think, you know, I think you provided a great depth of insight around this whole area that maybe a lot of companies and organizations aren't even thinking about yet. And I think that as you just described, which is, I totally agree, you know, ethical risk is a whole other category of risk that, you know, I think AI ethics is coming to the forefront now, but I don't think people quite understand, as you just articulated, right, is how much that can bleed into just everyday processing as AI functionality and decisioning becomes more commoditized. But I think for everyone listening, to learn more about Teej Lab, you can go to Teej Lab, TEEJLAB.com, to see Baljeet's solutions and work, and if you want to get in touch with him. But I just want to say a huge thanks, Baljeet, for joining us and providing all this insight. I think you probably have opened up quite a few minds.
Yeah, excellent. It really, really is fantastic. And I hope we get to talk to you more, hear more about this in the future, because it's clear this is going to be super important. So thank you very much. It was fantastic.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you, Matt, and thank you, Mike, a lot for the opportunity to be part of this this program.
Thanks.
Thanks again, and thanks, Mike. And thank you to all of our listeners. I know this is definitely an informative one. And we look forward to helping you and delivering our next episode. Until then, thanks very much.